Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is a Some of You show. My name is Elisa.
My name's Liz. Hey, girl.
Hey.
Hey.
We do have a hand raised.
Then let's take care of business.
Maybe we would do that. This is area code 270. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Joy. Hello, darling. And have we spoken with you in the past?
I think we may have.
Okay, great. So I feel like it's, whether we have or we haven't, I feel like it's been a while. So if you could just do me a favor, just take a deep breath, please. And then asking for permission to connect to your energy. It's just a yes or no question.
Yes.
Thank you, darling. And what are you needing today? What's going on?
I'm curious about dating or love.
What was the first thing?
I'm curious about either dating or a relationship in the future.
Okay, well, the future is now, right? And I know you're asking about that, but I feel like there's a bit of grief energy surrounding you. Did you... And again, when I pick up on things, it has nothing to do with linear time. It's just energy. So this could have been something that made an impact. Doesn't, just because I'm talking about it now doesn't mean that it's happening right this second. Does that make sense? But
mm-hmm.
something that's just kind of part, and I don't think this is something new or recent, but something that kind of is woven into the tapestry of your life, like something that you just sort of carry around with you. Very privately. Am I on the right track here? A sort of a grief or a loss?
There was an ex that I was kind of hoping to
thank you
make, but he has no relationship.
Yeah, well, that, but doesn't matter. What matters is that you feel a grief with that, or you feel a loss with that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So, I mean, it's great that you've acknowledged that gracefully, and I think you're just not one of those, thank goodness, you're not one of those type of people to put blame or to even beat yourself up. It's more expressed in, like, the tender reality of, okay, I have to move on because obviously this door is closed. So the good news is that you're not like vengeful and crazy, because there's lots of people that are, that's not you, you're a class act. But just to acknowledge your part, your grief in this, you know, because I think your focus is that he's moved on and all of that, but you're not really, I don't want you to neglect yourself in this process. Before we even talk about you getting into a situation with a new person, I think on a foundational level, it's important for you to bolster yourself up and your worthiness, and to even have the confidence to feel like, I don't even have to think about what I want. I just have to be the fabulous person that I am. And that alchemy really puts you in a position to be a manifester and an attractor. Does that make sense? It's very ironic.
Yes.
That you worked that spiritual muscle, that muscle of inner radiance and confidence, to say to yourself, I'm enough to not want anyone or anything, and all my needs are being met right now, because all we have is right now. You use the word future a few times, which is why I'm talking about just being very present.
Okay.
So... But just to satisfy the question a little bit, okay, I do see the potential of meeting somebody in a very unlikely, or even somebody that you may have sort of not even noticed too much, and they're more like you than you are, meaning that they're kind of reserved. I kind of see now. Again, don't ask me 100 questions, because usually I don't do this, but I just get like images. But I see somebody maybe on the mature side, but very, very buttoned up and very, very old school, but in a really wonderful way, in a very traditional, very refined kind of way, but very humble. So I don't know if that is striking anything with you, but that's like the energy. Again, it's not literal, it's energetic what I pick up.
Okay.
And if anything, you know, lines up that it makes sense, then I really do hope that you give us a call back and you give us an update. So I'm going to turn this over to Elisa to see what she has for you. But I just say that be present, don't want for anything, and acknowledge that with that past relationship that it just wasn't all about him.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, dear.
Joy, did we get a birth date from you or no?
No.
Could you just tell me your month and day?
August 24th.
August 24th, okay.
Well, your birthday's coming up, girl.
Yeah. So right now, you know, it's kind of the tail end of it. Let's see here. Yeah, right now, you're in a... you're in a 5 year, so you're entering a 6.
Oh, that's good.
here's Liz. Oh, that's good. Because, let me just double check. Because, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so this year so far has been, since your last birthday, has been probably a little bit of a roller coaster, a little bit full of some things that have come up. Like, what is that all about? And then some of it has been like, that was fun. It was different. So there's a little blend of that. But usually what happens with a 5 year is it pushes you outside of your comfort zone, kind of rocks your world a bit. And sometimes that feels good, and sometimes you're like, don't like it at all. But it pushes you beyond what you think you can handle or what you think you deserve. And sometimes those two ideas are very closely tied together. So to ask, and even your question was just sort of like a tentative, well, I'm just sort of, you know, thinking about, you know, love or a relationship. And it wasn't, you know, it was sort of left open-ended. And I'm glad that Liz picked up on that energy, because sometimes the energy of a past relationship and then what could have been can keep us from really moving forward, or from even looking around and receiving some different signals, some different opportunities. So this is all still kind of that tail end of that 5 energy, which is about change and growth. And then as you ease into this month and ease into your birthday, this number 6 energy will start to manifest. And from 5 to a 6 just goes from a little bit of chaos and uncertainty to allowing for some nurturing to happen for yourself, and also to allow for, you know, to kind of take into account the support group that you do have, whether it's a family or friends or a combination. And I think it's 6 because it's also not only a mothering, nurturing number, it's also a very loving number, that this concept of wanting to be in a relationship is very natural, and it's best expressed when you are in relationship with another person. However, it's best understood when you're in good relationship with yourself. So I like that we've sort of addressed a past relationship, and moving forward, you know, sort of whatever, however long it took, however long ago it was, that the energy was still kind of hanging around means, you know, maybe we pay more attention to you and not what was going on in the past, but paying attention to you now, very current, because energetically you don't want to have that lingering around you to attract something similar, which, you know, on the one hand may attract someone that you're very compatible with, but also attracts that vibration of how that relationship turned out. So what you're wanting to do is when you're looking outside, you know, looking for people that you're in tune with, that you enjoy your company, just know that you have to have those things within yourself too. You do have to enjoy your own company. You do have to appreciate who you are. And that way you'll know in your interactions with other people if they're in line with the sort of person you are right now. So, I mean, it seems, I don't want it to be very cold and clinical, too logical, because there's still emotion involved. You have to feel that. It's not just looking at it and thinking, oh, that's my perception. I think I know what it is. You know, use your head and your heart. But it isn't so much about turning it outside and seeing if anyone matches that. You know, I think it's the most important and crucial first step is that inside inner relationship and with yourself, and realizing you are so much more than the person you were before. And hopefully you see how far you've come and you see where your preferences are now, what's really important for you now versus where you were whenever this relationship started or ended. I mean, and to say thank you for that relationship and all these other relationships, even though they're not the ones, like you're not in those relationships still, you learned a lot about yourself from those relationships. So anytime, whether it's a relationship with a significant other or a family member or friendship, whenever something major happens or there's been a change or a shift in that relationship, you have to pay attention and see. I mean, usually we know how it affects us, but we don't always have that passage of time to get a different perspective and say, oh, that's why that had to happen. You know, maybe another opportunity had to open up. You had to see it. If you're focused on one thing, you're kind of missing out on a lot of other things. But it's all in terms of what your priority is and what is important for you. And you have to check in every so often, because that's going to change. It's not in the big picture, because everyone wants to have love and money and you know, security, mm-hmm. and all those sorts of things. Everybody wants that. But what you think of as love and security, say when you're 15 or 20, may be very different when you're a lot older.
Right.
Like, you know, the way you would express that would be very different. So as you're gearing up for this next birthday, you're asking your questions and you're, because a lot of stuff has happened, not only just even in this year, a lot of stuff has really moved forward and has come to your attention. That energy will start to settle down a little bit, because you're going to be a lot closer to home in terms of, you know, getting to the core of who you are and really seeing what's in there. It can be a beautiful process. There's not a race involved at all. But there's a need to be much more forgiving of yourself, much more allowing of great opportunities. And when you're feeling good, sometimes when you're feeling really good, things start to flow and you'll start paying more and more attention. You're actually tuned in to something different. You're tuned into a higher vibration. So that, what's interesting is it'll be great to see when you do call back up again and call in just to say hi, or just to, maybe you have another question because there's a deeper question, then I think you'll find that you'll be sharing some different insights about who you are and what's happened since this call, and just in your awareness. So, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
You know, allow for whatever healing needs to happen for you. You know, and it's not like, oh, you're broken, but just putting some things in perspective now for who you are now. Because as Liz said, you know, the future is now. So as you pay attention to those things that really make you tick. And it really it's about some preferences that you just haven't had to state out loud. You maybe to admit to yourself, no, this is, you know, I am not only preferences, but also realizing what you actually deserve. Like, you know, you deserve to be treated with respect. And, you know, it seems like, oh, everybody should know that. But sometimes it doesn't manifest in that way. So just pay attention to those things. You have a lot to give, a lot to share. So be excited about not only the new relationship that's going to be coming up, you know, whenever that is, but be excited about this new relationship with yourself. Because that's it's like a strong, confident woman that comes out, and not like a bully or anything like that. But just, you know, confidence is sexy. You know, when you know what it is that you want, and it's not like at the expense of somebody else, but because somebody's like, oh, I'm willing to give that because I want to be with you, then that's a different vibe altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're
so
able
thank
to,
thank you for coming.
Yes, and if you're able to download the show to listen, because there's a lot of information from the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
It would, and energetically, it's just very helpful to, because the energy is always live and present whenever you reconnect to it. So you can go onto iTunes under Universal Energy Radio, and you'll find the show, the Some of You show, or on a Blog Talk in the archives as well. And nice to talk to you. And do you.
Thank you both.
All right, bye, beautiful.
Take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
Well, it's always interesting, you know, when people are ready, or they say they're ready, you know, to be in a relationship, and the things that it brings up is usually past relationships. And
yeah,
I don't want that to happen again.
No. Yeah, you have to be very specific. Like, I'll talk to, you know, aspiring actors. Like, I'll do anything. I'm like, really? Take your clothes off.
right.
You
got
to be very, very, very careful. You know, I want to be with somebody. The sociopath that hasn't taken the medication in 2 weeks. Got to be very specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to, sometimes the best relationship, like you said, and I'm so glad that you did say that, the best relationship you can have is the one with yourself. And that could be plenty.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. This is true.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's talking about relationships. I know you are, and I know, you know, Anna has, and whether it's about, you know, usually like for you guys, it's mostly, you know, getting through.
Right.
And redefining current relationships because they need to.
Yeah.
Because it's time. And I know in all this discussing, you know, it brings up all relationships and all types, you know, things that we saw growing up, you know, who our role models were,
right.
And how that's affected why you're in one or why you're not in one.
That's
you
for
know?
Sure. Oof. Yep.
And even if it wasn't something, because obviously it's not like I had these heart-to-heart talks with my parents like I did with
being
Anna,
a witness.
You know.
Doesn't matter.
It's
you were there.
Being a witness, it's having that vibration. It's realizing... And you and I are of that generation. I mean,
right.
I think our parents are of that generation
right.
where you really didn't know. Like, I didn't know a lot of what was going on.
Oh, I didn't know nothing. Yep.
Until I was a lot older.
Yep, me too.
And
and
you thought, well, because you thought everything was fine. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, maybe everything wasn't perfect, but you knew, like, I knew when my mom would be upset about something. But I would never know if it was because of, you know,
if you
something
did it,
my father did
right.
or something we did. Or
yep.
I just didn't know. So there's this mystery of communication.
Oh.
Because I wasn't able to see how all those dots connected or why.
Right. Right. Or that you would find out, like, oh, no, that happened. I'm like, and you're telling me now.
Right. Right.
As an adult. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the stuff that is still, I still get sprung with stuff. I'm like, and when were you going to tell me? The next life? Okay. So it's very interesting, but it's like you didn't choose. Now, this is a weird metaphor, but it's one that's coming in. We did not choose our specific marinades. You know, we were literally marinated in culture, in ancestry, in the role models or lack thereof. It's just the particular marinade. And the thing is, it's that I guess I use that term because that literally injects flavor or substance or distinction. So it's literally in the bone marrow. So it's in our bone marrow. No matter how much we can assimilate, acclimate, reject, embrace, it doesn't matter. It's almost like what I was saying to Wendy, that I just picked up the energy that woven into the tapestry of who she is this grief component. And then it came out that she was talking about this previous relationship. So woven into the fabric of who we are is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And not to reject or to deny that, but to move through that and to appreciate and love the parts that are distinctive and unique and flavorful, and to reject the parts that are raw and bitter. So, oh, that metaphor actually worked pretty good.
Now I'm hungry.
I want some Filipino food.
Oh, we had a birthday party for my cousin's little boy Grayson.
Cute.
His birthday.
Yeah, he's so cute. That's who I didn't know who that was. Okay, so that's the famous Grayson.
Yeah, Grayson.
How cute! Very cute.
My cousin Donnie's boy, and his second birthday was on Sunday. So it was at a county park, so we couldn't bring any alcohol. Of course, everyone's like, "What do you mean you can't bring any?" You know, it's like, I mean, it's a 2-year-old's birthday party. You know, you can relax for a few hours.
I know, but I've gone to some baptism parties where where the kids.
Yeah, but not on county property.
Not on county property. Not in the south. No.
So it was just a fun time, and one of my favorite pictures is of my cousin Annette, who at the end, it's like at the very end of the party, everyone's kind of tidying up, and a lot of people have already left to go on to the next thing for the day, and Grayson just wanted to go. He just wanted to spend the day outside. He really did. He just wanted to be outside, and of course, it's not blazing, but it was hot. So thank God we had this air conditioned space adjacent to what is basically a beach area on the lake.
Nice.
But he wanted to just be outside, and every so often he'd pick out somebody and just charm them into taking him outside, and then he'd come back in. He's a charmer. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to work his magic.
Yeah.
So this one was one my cousin Annette was the one he had picked out quite a few times, but she was still there. So then they were playing this hide and seek game around the different posts in the space. Uh-huh. And part of it was like the sugar spike from the cake he had. Because by the end he was laughing and I could tell he was happy, but he was also incredibly tired.
Right.
But then I was looking at my cousin, and she was also incredibly tired, but laughing. And I took a picture of them, and just her, both of them were just squealing, just laughing the entire time.
Oh, I love that. So beautiful.
And they did it for a good 10 minutes. I was tired watching them, It was great just to catch that expression.
Pure joy.
Pure joy. It really was. And for him, he's a kid. He was pretty much always happy, always laughing. Just everyone was ready to be on for him and just to amuse him and to make him feel good. So it was a fantastic at a birthday party. I got to catch up with a few other of my second cousins, and it was just super nice to see and to be in that atmosphere. And you'll laugh at the spread because my cousin Donnie married married the American. So at the party, of course, I walk in. This whole area has a little kitchen area. So I've got two of my aunts already still frying
up
food.
They're already there with the pot.
They're still frying up food.
Frying and boiling, yep.
Three types of egg rolls, you know.
Oh.
Some noodles. And then there's like stacks of Papa John's pizza. And trays of Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Oh, that's funny. Chick-fil-A. Take a pill.
I'm like, it helped everybody. Everybody had a little bit of something. I was just laughing at that. But I all I did really was snack on those egg rolls. That's about pretty much it.
That's all you need.
I had like maybe a little sliver of the cake. It was a cake from Publix grocery stores, and all of our cakes were always good.
Excuse me.
So,
uh-huh.
Bless you.
Thank you, darling.
So, but that's pretty much all I did. I mean, you mentioned Filipino food. I'm like, oh, I just had Filipino food.
To have it like fresh and
I know.
I mean, the closest that I get to that is like for some reason Filipino food is really, really popular at street festivals here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if I'm missing you guys, I'll just go get my little situation, my little lumpia. Yeah, and it's good. It's not as good as you guys, but it's close enough.
Yeah. It'll do in a pinch.
It will do in a pinch. Yeah, it's celebrating the summer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. So, that's great. Yeah, I saw some of the pictures. It just looked like you guys were having a really happy, festive celebration.
Well, what I also found interesting,
mm-hmm.
just watching, the dynamics of, father, son,
mm-hmm.
Father, mother, and son, and they put together the whole birthday party. And,
right.
What's the earliest birthday party that you can remember? For me, it was probably 5 years old, 6 years old, but not much. Remember a cake and,
right.
A bunch of family members and a bunch of food. That's pretty much been standard for the next few years after that. Cake, bunch of people, bunch of family, food, and, probably some – I don't remember the present. So when they finally decided to do the cake, they had to drag him back inside because he was still outside. And then they plopped him down on the table. Well, no, that was for the cake. So then they got together. They had all these gifts to open up. And they were just doing everything they could to say, look, Grayson, look, you got this. They opened it up, or he helped open it up, or he took it out of the bag, and he would be like, oh, this is great, and everybody, you can imagine all my relatives, oh, wow,
all
the little sound effects that they have.
Right.
Yeah, and he's just overstimulated. He's like, I was outside, now I'm inside, and now I'm center of attention, but
and
I'm used to that because I'm
right.
a baby.
I got indoctrinated into being a consumer.
Right.
The birth of consumerism here, that's where it starts.
Every gift, they would say, it's from, your auntie so-and-so, go say thank you. And they'd point to who they were talking about. He would look at who they're pointing at. He'd have the gift in his hand. He'd go over to them and give them the gift.
Oh, that's so cute.
And, hey, thank you, Grayson. If I had played a little drinking game, every time they said his name, I'd be, I'd be drunk off.
Yeah, you'd be drunk
water.
Now. Right.
Yeah, I'd be drunk. I'd still be drunk.
Right.
So he's having to take direction from two parents and then a couple of, grandmothers and grandfathers.
And it's too much. It's like
I was overwhelmed.
At age two, and I don't know how, maybe this goes for a while. I'm no child psychologist, but just energetically, kids are more energy than mass. So
mm-hmm.
it's just, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. And in the communication with kids, like their brains aren't wired in the same. It's the same way you would never give a toddler a cocktail. Well, you're kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're forcing them to use circuitry in their brains that doesn't even exist yet, and then and as adults we have to spend our adult life rewiring.
Well, yeah.
you know.
And I mean, the thing is, even the atmosphere there was very loving, so it wasn't
of course,
like a
oh,
stern,
no, no, of course. That
you know.
Has nothing to do with that.
No,
I know.
So he was fascinated by some of the gifts. You know, they're still in their ties, you know, the little plastic thing. So and they weren't going to mess with that because they had to go through all this mound of gifts.
Right.
So they just wanted to show him,
right.
And then I'm sure he'd have time later on to actually play with all of them.
Of
but there
course.
Was one gift in particular.
Uh-huh.
It was like a guitar in the shape of a giraffe. It looked
oh,
really
cool.
Oh, how cute. So he, it was an electronic guitar. So he kept going back to that because it was just in a bag. He kept like, he wanted to put that on and start playing. And he would sort of like, oh, I got whatever gifts, whatever. Because after a while, like me, like when you see all the food,
it's
like I was
too much.
Sort of hungry, then
right.
I wasn't hungry. You know, like I had a little
exactly.
nibble of an egg roll. I'm like, there's
yep.
all this other food, and I think for him, like that giraffe guitar was pretty much all he wanted to do.
Right.
He was definitely overstimulated. Like, oh my gosh, like, I need to go here. I need to get here. I've got this big gift. It's a gift that's bigger than I am.
Right.
And everyone's oohing and aahing. There's all these
a lot.
Effects. Yeah. I was just sort of taking that. I was watching it. And then seeing him with the cake, you know, he was put on that table and had his, he had his own little round cake. And then there was a huge sheet cake that everyone else had because he was just going to demolish that cake. At first he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll eat. And then he wanted to feed other people. Yeah, that's
sweet. Oh, that's sweet.
Awesome.
He seems so yeah. loving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His card, his birthday is actually that day. His card is like a jack of hearts. Or something
oh.
like that. I mean, he is a charmer, and he's got that. He's a Leo as well. So there's a playfulness to him. Super sweet, and you see him smile, and everyone smiles, and I love that with kids because when
yes.
they're happy, you
everybody
feel
happy.
That.
Beautiful.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they're very present. They're in the moment. You know, he's eating cake or he's outside. You know, he's getting,
keep it simple.
Yeah, very simple. I love it.
Yeah, we all need to go back to that. It's like when we were speaking to Joy, our last caller. You know,
yeah.
just be right.
Yeah.
It's right now. It's right now. So we don't need to talk about the future. We just talk about you're good right now.
Yeah. So I'm. This was a nice little change of pace and. Just to get re-energized, and I got a couple of cousins, a few cousins that are interested in going to Iceland next year, next winter.
Oh, that's amazing!
We got one cousin. This is my cousin who is. She has the same birthday as my mom, and I've got one cousin that has the same birthday as my dad. It's really interesting.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Because we have a big family.
You have a huge family, right.
But we have a lot of birthdays that fall on the same date. So this cousin has the same birthday as my mom. You know, I like seeing how those traits play out, you know. So she is, you know, incredibly smart and organized and not I wouldn't say bossy, but she knows what needs to get done, and she says it with such authority.
Yeah, that's good.
That you know, people are like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's smart. That's what I'm gonna do. So she has put together this trip, and she's just doing research. The thing is, she travels really, really well.
Oh, good.
In that, you know, she picks out some really great either companies that put everything together or she'll already have an idea of what she wants, and she finds companies that will allow for those options.
Right.
So she's just doing her research because she doesn't, whether you come with her or not, she would love to have people along. But she knows,
she's,
you know, she's going.
She's going.
And she's been trying to encourage one of my other cousins in particular because he's like single father. You know, his kids are in high school. One's already actually going to be in college, but he works his butt off all the time. And she's like, he really needs a vacation. He
right.
ought to come with us. I said, I agree. So he was asking me to over that party, and he's like, are you going to get off? I said, yeah. I mean, it's still down the road. It's definitely a plan to go. I think it would be really fun to do it with
oh,
the cousins.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, okay. So we're just trying to get him excited. He's like, it's a lot of money. I said, well, you know, your cousin's trying to help you figure out how to put money aside and you know, figure out, you know, each portion will figure it out. She's so good at that. So he's like, okay. So yeah, I'll think about the one. Just, you know, make the time and it'll be a really good trip. I said, if you just go to Iceland in general, you know, plop you down in Reykjavik, you'll be fine because there's a lot to do, there's a lot to see, it's a beautiful place. I said,
oh,
but
see the Northern Lights.
Yeah, that's the plan.
That's the whole
plan.
I know that.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
Well, she's actually mentioned now, like maybe we just poke around in Iceland, but she's looking really to see the Northern Lights in Norway. And she said, oh, yeah, we can take a little flight from Iceland to Norway. I'm like, oh, okay. this is getting a little complicated. But it would be farther north. So
then why would do you see them better there if you're in Iceland?
Well, you are in Iceland, but the farther north you are, obviously, the better your chances, I guess, of seeing
life. Sure,
seeing the lights. I'm not sure, but it looked like it was pretty interesting. She was observatory, yeah, that you could go to.
Oh, that's probably why. That makes
sense. And she said, yeah, yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, she's like, I'm just, you know, she's just, like you said, researching.
She's just putting it out there. It doesn't cost anything to research. Doesn't cost
right.
anything to have an idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited. And
I'm excited for
you. It's a little over a year away. Because I keep asking her, like, what's her time frame? And she's
right.
between October and November, sometime around there. I'm like, okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I know
yeah.
there's a, I don't know where, but I guess the very northern part of Maine is also a place where you can see them.
Well, yeah, and actually, you know, you can see them. Some people who live in, like, Michigan, parts of Canada, you can see them. It's just odd when people say, "Oh, I saw the Northern Lights," and but it's not consistent. You know, it's like whatever shows up. But I feel like when we were in Norway, that seemed to be a much more common occurrence because it was so far north. At least the parts of Norway that we visited,
right?
Especially there was one place we visited. It was inside the Arctic Circle. So,
oh my God!
Yeah. But that was during the summertime.
Right, and I'm sure when you're that far north, there's no comparison. Like what
right.
I've seen photographs, and
right.
you just feel like, okay, so where's the picture of the? I guess the spaceship is out of frame because it's
right.
like you're on another planet.
Right, right. And
that's
to be fair,
amazing. Oh my
I follow a bunch of places in Iceland, and they're showing Northern Lights, like you know, like 2 days after we left.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Like last year, because we left at the end of August.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, look, the Northern Lights are coming. I'm like, really?
Really? Yeah. Okay. It's like you go someplace that's, a Caribbean destination, and it rains for the whole week you're there. And then the day you get on the plane, it's like a beautiful, hot, gorgeous.
Right. Like, oh, come on.
Really now? Oh.
We do have a question in our chat room.
Okay.
And it's from our friend, Dev for Peace.
Okay.
So we haven't heard from her in a while.
D for P.
Says, okay, it might sound weird. I know we are to love and light everything. This sounds really bad, and it sounds like judging, and it's bothering me.
Okay.
Down here. There is a someone at work.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to always be someone at work.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's true.
It's not all the time, but I feel the work dirty. I feel the work dirty, and I get sick to my stomach when I'm near this person. This has happened before, and I feel bad about it. I just can't shake the feeling.
What is it? Is it that I am a little unclear? Is it that the person is it like a hygiene thing? Like, I don't understand.
I'm not sure either, as much as she's written.
Yeah. But regardless, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Because energetically, it's first of all, D for P, please do not beat yourself up for being human. You know, if you are taking out if we don't take out the trash on a regular basis, it starts to stink. And then it signals we react to it because we have to do something because then it could be a health hazard. So any time that it is a visceral kind of reaction, it goes back to our primal selves. We are wired to survive, whether we like it or not. We are just wired. That's why fear exists. That's why pain exists. That's why our senses perform the function that they do. If you cut yourself, you're going to feel it, and then you're going to do something before it becomes an infection, goes into your bloodstream, and you die. So this is all about self-preservation. And what did she say? What was her first? I just want you to repeat her first line or two, her first sentence or two.
I know it might sound weird. I know we are to love and light everything.
Okay, yeah, hold up. Maybe. Okay, but I am of the school of, for me, everybody's different. And if I could work out a shortcut, I would. But for me, I kind of have to get down and dirty, and I got to feel everything. For whatever reason, in this lifetime, I have accepted it because I've been this way my whole life. That's my learning style. We're here to learn. That is my learning style. Other people, they just got to smile and think a nice thought, and they've moved up the food chain of vibrational frequency, and that's admirable. But for me, I know that I got to be in that really dark place and move through it confidently to have the clarity of where I am in this moment. Mm-hmm. Everybody has different learning styles. So there are no rules. The universe could care less. There is divine order, and underneath everything is purity, peace, and perfection. So take this as maybe an influence to not be so hard on yourself, that to own that you are human, and that it's okay. Things are going to gross us out. It's almost like saying that if you go to that horror film, which God forbid, you go to that really scary, horrible film, or very scary film, that you're going to judge yourself for reacting. You just reacted. You're a human being. So I think this is more about you being hard on yourself and feeling that the feeling that to impose standards that aren't really human. You're a human being. So now, if this is a different situation where it affects work and all of that, then that's a human resources conversation. But for the purpose of what we're talking about, I hope this is making sense. But I feel like it's like you're being hard on yourself. I hope that makes sense.
All right. So she's saying. She's saying no, not at all. She is very clean. I think she's very attractive, sexy, like a sex kitten. It's not that she is dirty. I feel it's her energy. And yeah, I think we get that part. I think we get that part that energetically you feel
it's energy. Yeah. But that's something to protect yourself. So, but it's the same thing. So what I'm describing, D for P, is that the energy doesn't know the difference. So it could be, and it's almost like I described what you described to be her energy, even though she's clean and all that, thank goodness. But the metaphor is the same. The metaphor still applies. And if anything, sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the case with this person because we're not dealing with this person, but just as an example, sometimes as very porous beings, okay, our fields are very sensitive, we're very porous, we pick up on everything. So I would imagine that she is completely oblivious, and maybe that's why you're feeling a little like, oh, my God, why am I feeling this? Like, she's perfectly fine. What's wrong with me? But if you are feeling these things, that's totally fine. Again, it goes back to self-protection. So it's not like this person, you're not going to personify this person with being less than or whatever. It's more about self-preservation and protecting yourself, because sometimes energies will latch on that the person doesn't even know that there's energies that are latched on. But if you're a porous, very empathetic, very sensitive person, you know, as many of us that are on this show and that listen to this show, then that's okay too. She might be completely oblivious, but again, it's about you protecting yourself. So if it just means that you just do a little sage before and after work, or a great tip for on the go is that you take a little salt packet with you, and whenever you wash your hands, you wash your hands and you use that salt packet, because that also neutralizes the energy. And it's just about you keep staying pure. It has nothing to do with her. Okay, but it's something that you're picking up on the energy, and my suspicion, because of who you are and you're very sensitive and very porous, is that there's something latched on to her that you're picking up on. But you could just stay in your bubble of peace and just protect. And this is about self-protection, energetic protection. So I hope that makes sense.
And Raven's in the chat room just saying, you know, basically sharing her part, because, you know, Raven is also incredibly empathic. So,
yes,
you know, when you are super sensitive like that, you have to be aware that that's what it is. It isn't the other person. It isn't necessarily something wrong with you. It's just that you're picking up on a lot of different energy.
Yep.
And so you have to decide, well, you have to know how to protect yourself. You have to know how to how to not take in everyone else's stuff.
Right.
Just because you can.
Right. It's like hand sanitizer,
Right. Yep. Right. And so to know how to do that. So Raven's putting some things in there.
Good. Thank you, Raven.
And it's interesting because Dove for Peace is like, you know, but she's beautiful and I don't feel this energy often. But the thing is you're picking up on it when it is really strong. You know, for whatever reason. It's almost like it's like the beginning, it seems to me. Like when you're aware of, like, mm-hmm. out of all these people, this one person I have no connection with is standing out to me, and it doesn't feel good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You got to pay attention.
It kind of starts that way.
Yep.
It starts that way, because I think for some people, very rarely, does it happen all at once. And then these are the people that never go out anywhere because they know they can't. And
right.
I actually have met somebody who had difficulties. Her husband at the time was a big, like a record producer for gospel music. So to some degree, it kind of helps it a little bit, but not really, because all the parties are the same, all the award shows are the same, and she could not accompany him to any of those.
Right, too much.
It was too much. So she kind of sequestered herself because she just knew she couldn't.
Right.
Prepare enough time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so, you know, when you're in that sort of situation, and it's that extreme, then you do have to figure something out, you know, pretty soon, like a technique or something that allows you to even, like, just go out to the grocery store, because that could be too many people, you know?
Oh, sometimes I will walk right out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it just feels too much, or you just walk in and, like, you're there for 30 seconds and you feel like something's off.
Yeah. So for her to be around this person, it makes her physically sick. Is what she's basically saying. Yes, it makes me sick. I have to get away from her.
Do what you got to do.
Very strong reaction.
Yeah, very strong reaction. And honor that, because my whole point my main point is, don't beat yourself up for being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is, obviously there's something for you to discover or learn for your growth and your expansion. And that is what's so difficult when we have circumstances and relationships and situations bombard us sometimes. And then we have to clear that debris to see, oh, my goodness, this is a tool for growth. you know, dove for peace, mm-hmm. tool for growth.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Yeah. There's something about self-protection. And obviously, along with that, a lot of times this will, what those kind of reactions is a result of an embodiment of someone that is triggering something. So I think that also may be a dynamic in play here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're being triggered about something. And I've noticed a lot of, tell me if I'm incorrect on this, but we had said this earlier, that a lot of the questions we get from D4P we've had several that are related to interpersonal relationships in the workplace. Am I mistaken in that?
No, that's what seems
that's
to
her. Yeah,
I
that's
remember
right.
as well. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
Because I seem to recall there was one where one time where she felt like people were sort of talking about her.
Yeah.
I don't know if that energy was just because she's, you know, because she is who she is and she's, you know, probably really attractive and, you know, probably catches the eye of people. I'm not sure. I seem to recall that was sort of one particular dynamic. But the thing is, in that environment, in any environment, and this is, you know, work is where you spend a lot of your time. And there's probably a good number of people, but then you get some different people in the mix. Then, you know, you start to pick up on different energies. And for her to have such a strong reaction in this case, and then I think because it's the energy is so different from what she is visually looking at.
Right, it's counterintuitive.
It would be different.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be different if you were looking at someone who embodied Pig Pen, you know, like, oh,
right.
there's something nasty, you know, going on there.
Right, but
there's,
she's
you know,
seeing,
filthy.
Right, it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something like to be on guard. But the thing is, I think she's realizing it's probably not that person in particular.
Like
that person isn't trying to single you out. Like, let me put my bad juju on this person every day because that seems to make sense. But I would say to take from all of this, I mean, and Raven is giving her some really good advice as well.
Good.
Because you do have to understand your own energy, how to protect how to protect your own space so that you're not so porous in terms of, oh, everybody, if you feel anything, I feel everything too. You have to be aware. Everybody has something a little different. Like I know, Liz, you've come up with all these different ways. You've got your salt package. You have different ways of doing it. We'll burn some sage, but you may not be able to do that at work all the time, but you can, before you get in, you know, do some visualizations and just, you know, I'll be aware, you know, get help from your guides or just be aware of putting yourself in the bubble.
Remind her and us about the rose tool.
Oh yeah, I think I did. Yeah, that rose. So a lot, and this time, I don't even know if you even talked to this person, but whatever the case may be, one of the tools I was taught was to have imagine an energetic rose in front of you, like between you and whoever else, people around you. Some people will visualize like a wreath of roses around you to kind of mark your space. So energetically, that rose is what's taking in that energy, not you.
Exactly.
So, and this whole rose is really pretty to look at. So if you're just gazing at this rose, it's allowing, you know, you to also just keep present with the situation with the person. So the person can be talking and it's not like you're ignoring them. So there's not that resistance, but the rose is taking in that energy. And then when they're gone, you can just blow up that rose, like destroy it. So the energy that is released, it goes back to whoever it needs to go to, but not you.
Right.
And you can put up some new roses. So it's been interesting because I did that when I was in this work environment as well. I had cubicles and I had, this is a really good friend of mine that I'd known from school. And he was having some hard times and he would come to me because we were such good friends, we still are. You know, he would come in and just sort of, you know, dump all the stuff that was going on. And he would always leave feeling better. Meanwhile, I got all this stuff. I'm
right.
like, why? I'm feeling heavy. What's going on here?
Uh-huh.
And I learned that technique. And what was interesting is these cubes, the way we were facing, our back was to the entrance to the cube. So, you know, it's not like you could like, oh, have a heads up. So we have to put a mirror up to kind of see who's hanging out behind you. So I just, every day I'd get to win and I'd set up my roses, my protection roses. And as soon as I started doing that, he wouldn't like come right into my cube. He would kind of linger outside the cube. And he wouldn't stay very long because I would listen to him.
Yep.
He wouldn't stay very long.
Yep. So the rose tool, and then the other thing, D4P, that I do all the time, especially on these crazy streets of New York City, because it could be dangerous here. I surround myself, I visualize myself within a cylinder of mirrors, and the mirrors are facing out. Well, I like to imagine a disco ball because that's who I am. But
of course.
So there's mirrors facing out, and they're kind of spinning, and that deflects. It just puts. It's like the rose. It puts the energy back to where it came from, and it protects you. And it works. It really, really works. I have, I think, avoided many, many scary, potentially dangerous situations. And then with my kids, ever since they're little, let's say, well, we're on a side street, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, we went down the wrong street or whatever. Because in New York, you just never know what's going to happen, you know. In this world now, you don't know what's going to happen where, but in New York, it's very heightened. And I'll say to the kids, okay, mirrors up, and they know exactly what that means. Or we walk into a subway car that's like, oh, this is the wrong subway car, mirrors up. And then we will switch cars when we can. But in the meantime, walking home late at night, mirrors up. So I make sure the mirrors are facing out clearly.
Right.
Yeah. So that really, really works. I've been doing that for many, many years now.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I think whenever I find myself in a situation like walking into an area where, you know, you kind of feel, it's interesting because I don't do mirrors, but what I do is I picture, it's almost like a combination of picturing myself being bigger, you don't even want to mess with me.
Oh yeah, I do that too. We're short, and we're like, go ahead, you gonna mess with me?
And then for some reason, I always picture it's my mom's mom, who I only met for a few months, you know, out of my life. She came to the States to visit for a little bit, and then, you know, so I just remember her, and my mom had her on such a pedestal. But I only knew her for a little bit. I thought she was super cool. I thought, you know, both my grandmothers were amazing.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I picture her
protecting
kind of
you?
Like, yeah, like, you know.
That's good. She probably is. If you're feeling that, I'm sure she is.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
I don't know. But I think it's funny because I picture her, and then anytime it's the psychological stuff where I'm scared.
Right,
because I think the one movie that it really made me sick because it was a horror movie, but it was also because of the camera work. Is that Blair Witch Project?
Oh yes,
you know that was a crazy movie.
That movie was
That was a crazy movie, and I actually was ill because the camera was so shaky. I can count on probably one hand the times I've ever been physically ill and thrown up.
Yeah, that movie was terrible. Right.
And that was the only time because it was a camera work. The other time was because I was, you know, probably drinking.
And that started a whole style, and I can't stand it, of cinematography. It's a whole, there's,
right.
a whole, there's a whole style now that started with that stupid movie. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. Like, yeah, that's her legacy, is like shaky camera work.
Shaky camera work. Like, okay, you're trying to be cool. Okay, great.
To give you an effect. So I remember not feeling good because it was just so much to take in that I did take in. Clearly, this is why I don't like to watch horror movies. But I didn't feel good. I went to bed and I just could not sleep. I still had that feeling.
Yep.
So I was just picturing my grandmother, my Lola. And so I had, you know, for some reason, and this is, you know, I don't want to blur, which was, that was a long time ago, but I pictured her like just so she could protect me while I was sleeping.
That's beautiful. We're going to get cut off in a second, but remember, a year or so ago, I picked up an energy of the grand. I wonder if that's the same grandmother.
Oh, maybe.
Remember?
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, but I remember I picked up on grandmother energy with you. Oh, it was a long time. It was a year or two ago on the show. So it's interesting that you're bringing that up now. Anyway, if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Wonderful to share the airwaves again with you, my love. And in the meantime, remember to
follow
the feeling.
To you.
Oh, we did that so good. Oh, my God. Have a great day, everybody. Love you.
Love you. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.